Tick, 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 tick. You hear the clock in the background, Mark? You hear it? You hear it ticking? You know what it's counting down to?
I don't think clocks tick anymore, but
sure they do. Yeah, they do. Really old ones do. And we qualify as old. It's tick, 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 ticking down to free agency, buddy. We're just 5 days away from free agency. Are you ready for this?
Yes, it's going to be a nice, interesting weekend.
It is. There's still things that need to happen before that weekend, too. Also, tick, 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 tick. Counting down to WrestleMania as well. A little more than 6 weeks away. Counting down to a whole lot of stuff. But happy that each and every one of you is able to join us live on YouTube, live on X, live on Facebook, wherever you're finding us. We appreciate you joining Cabali and Mac, presented by Dan Heck. And the Dan Heck team, heckteamhomes.com. You need to buy or sell a home in the Pittsburgh area. They are the people to trust. Dan, Michelle, Jeremy, the entire team. Corey, John, Heather, Mike, Tia, even some guy called Keith who works there, who I happen to know just a little bit, who is convinced that his good looks will have all the single moms rolling in to try and buy homes. No, seriously, though, if you need to buy a house or sell a house or do both, the Dan Heck team is the place to go. Heckteamhomes.com, H-A-E-C-K. And they are the presenting sponsor of Cabali and Mac, which Kaboom has reached 20, count them, 20 episodes, my friend.
Wow.
Yeah, this is number 20. I'll be honest, I thought we'd either get bored or find better things to do before we got that high. But just, here we are.
Just wait until there's actually something to talk about.
Yeah, right. And we've pulled this off. We haven't had a single episode while the Steelers were still active in the season. Our first episode was, I think, a couple days after they lost to the Ravens in the wild card game. So, yeah, that's good point by you. You're always full of them, but a good point by you that we haven't even really had anything to talk about yet. It's just been downtime before free agency gets started. Like I said, in 5 days, March 10th, the legal tampering period begins, and then March 12th, free agency becomes official. So thanks to all of you for joining us again. It was like 50,000 views in the first month and 63,000 in the second month. So like a rocket ship, Kaboom, we're headed to the moon.
Mm.
Yeah,
I could have made an Elon reference, but I probably should stay away from that because we don't do political stuff on here.
No,
it's not political. It's rocket ship to the Mars, and hopefully we don't have to catch it on its way back. Hopefully we keep going.
Hopefully it actually goes where it's supposed to go.
Yes. Okay. Hopefully it does not come back.
Let's talk about running backs. Let's talk about how disappointed you were with something on Monday night. Let's talk about a bunch of different stuff today. Again, you guys can always comment live on the X live stream, on YouTube, on Facebook, wherever you comment, we will see it. And quite often, Cabali will become distracted by it and not listen at all to what I am saying at that point in time because he's too busy reading the comments.
Hey, Justin's already there, baby.
What, huh?
Justin
what,
E, baby?
Look what? At it. Oh, Justin in the chat. Whoa, you said Justin, and I'll be honest, I freaked out a little bit. I was like, Fields? What?
Huh? You know, apparently, it's been like 24 hours since somebody else made a report, so it's probably about that time. Justin is now getting interest from, you're going to probably hear next, Justin's getting interest from, well, he can't officially get interest yet.
So that's a good point, I think. And I have a question for you about that. First, thanks to Southwest Greens as well for being a sponsor of Cabali and Mac. We appreciate their sponsorship and their support as well. It is that time of year. The temperature is turning. My wife looked at it this morning, Kaboom, and pointed out that after we get through tomorrow and the next couple days, I don't think that highs will be in at least the 40s, like for the foreseeable future. Spring is about to spring. So you want your yard to be nice. You want the kids to be able to go out and play. You want the pets to be able to go out and use it. You want to be able to use it. You can do all that with Southwest Greens. Go to southwestgreenspa.com. And I'm not talking about them coming and spraying a bunch of chemicals on your yard or forcing you to water it for $400 a month, or you got to mow it every 3 days or anything like that. No, I'm talking about maintenance-free, the best-looking lawn in the neighborhood, because they will come in and install an artificial surface that's chef's kiss, absolutely beautiful, and then you don't have to do all that extra crap with it. Talk to Jake at southwestgreens.com, southwestgreenspa.com, pardon me. But Jake at Southwest Greens will take care of you. They're already filling up for the spring because everybody wants their yard to be nice, so make sure you get a hold of them now. Tell them Kabali and Max sent you, and they'll take care of you. Even if you just want like a little area of the yard, you don't want to put artificial grass through the whole yard. Even if you just want like a little corner where you can putt because you're a golfer, or maybe where the kids can play, whatever it may be, you can put a little corner. You can put it all over the yard. Pets can go on it. Cleans up just like real grass. It's fantastic. Southwest Greens, southwestgreenspa.com. So here's my question for you. The legal tampering period starts on Monday. How many teams actually, and players and agents actually wait for that? Or is everybody talking already?
No, I mean, that's been probably going on for a couple weeks now, especially like I've said before, at the combine. I mean, everybody pretty much knows who's interested in a quarterback. I mean, there might not be specific numbers thrown out there right now, but it's just all for, you know, optics. They know who it is, so I don't see why, unless.
So are people having real conversations behind the scenes now? Like, yes. Is the team talking to an agent about a player saying, hey, what are you guys comfortable doing? Because we really need 3 years and X amount per year. Yeah. Or do they wait to actually drill that stuff down on Monday when they're allowed to do it?
No, they'll probably be moved on by then. If they get for argument's sake, they get the inkling that Justin does not want to come back, right?
Right.
They want to move on as quick as possible, right? They want to go now. They don't want to wait till Monday or Tuesday to, you know, play that game of whether he wants to come back and let's go check free agency. So that stuff is pretty much in the bank, I would say, or in the bag of who likely is going to offer, who might be interested. Now, you probably wait till the last minute just to make sure that team X doesn't come in and offer you a couple extra bucks or something that you can't refuse. But if you're Justin Fields, you're at the point where
the Monday at noon, you're ready to go, right?
My point is if you're not, I'm not signing before Monday or even giving a verbal commitment behind the scenes or anything to that ilk, unless the Pittsburgh Steelers far and away offers me something that the other teams that I already know who I've talked to behind the scenes are not going to offer me. If not, wait.
Yeah. Okay. So I just wanted to get the procedural point out of the way that the whole legal tampering period is a bunch of BS basically, yes. Right? Everybody's talking already.
That's why things happen. So, I mean, you'll see right at 4:00, boom, boom. You're telling me these guys can agree that quickly?
So why do we sit here and pretend like it's not happening? I mean, I guess I do understand to an extent because the NFL is really good at spreading everything out all over the calendar. So you get the Super Bowl and all the postseason, offseason talk and the scouting combine and the Senior Bowl and all that stuff in February. And then in March, everybody is able to turn the page to free agency, and the NFL likes to suck up as much spotlight as possible. Credit to them. They do it right. And then the draft comes in late April, so you have time for pro days in between. Like, if I get why they put it in the middle of March like this, it just doesn't make sense that, like, they don't do what some leagues do and say, okay, week after the season's over, everybody's open for business. Let's go. But because everybody's basically open for business at that point anyway.
Yeah, they're absolutely open for business. And, I mean, it's not like you can control it. I mean, what are you going to do? How are you going to monitor this?
Well, you find out that Tom Brady meets with Matt Stafford, and then you offer to fight Ian Rappaport over it at a Starbucks in Indianapolis.
Yeah, I mean, that's about it. You think that the NFL cared if they met? No, they cared that it may have caught out public. But there's not much you can do. You remember, what was it, 3, 4, 5 years ago, there was no such thing as tampering period.
No.
But people knew beforehand, as soon as it hit at that time, I think it was noon, people were being signed. I'm like, how in the world is this done? Oh, we'll do a legal tampering period just to, you know, good optics to the whole offseason free agency. But, you know, quiet. We know what's going on. There's nothing we can do about it.
Saquon got a massive extension yesterday. Not a surprise given the season he had, right? Record-breaking year.
Why are you ripping up a deal you just gave him?
Well, so you're shocked at this, that they gave him a massive raise, and essentially they're attached to him now for at least the next 2 years.
Weren't they attached to him before?
Yes, but not at the same amount of money. So this was obviously a player and agent initiated renegotiation, and it worked for them.
That's very un-Philadelphia Eagles like, right? I would think. I mean, now you had to get rid of Slay, and you had to get rid of somebody else, one of their other defensive backs.
Who else did they
probably got in order to pay him? I don't know. It just doesn't seem like a good precedent to say. I know he's a MVP caliber guy, MVP caliber season, but how many people in the world comes up to you and say, "Hey, Mac, yeah, you're doing a heck of a job. Let's give you some more money. Just you ain't asking for it or anything." Just seems like it was a little strange. I mean, you can get away with it because Barkley was so unbelievable this week, this year. But you know what that does, in my opinion.
Resets the whole market.
Holy cow. Now, I mean, you look at it and just for Najee, because he's one of the better ones out there in free agency, saying, okay, now he's getting 20. I should be able to get 9 or 10, right?
Yeah. I mean, he's half as good as Saquon Barkley, right? 1,000 yards every year, whether we argue about the yards per carry or not and all that. Yeah. So it resets the market, especially at the top for like the Aaron Joneses and J.K. Dobbins and Najee Harrises of the world. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I don't know.
Brian says if the Steelers sign Najee, he's done. He's going to watch bowling on Sundays.
No, he's not.
I know. But it's a fun thing to say, right? who in their right mind would pay him in his cement feet, though? Wait, did we figure out that Brian Garrett is also the pony burner, right?
Oh, it could. Oh.
I think it is. Nice. So let's start with this. Let's start with there are three options for the Steelers, right? They've got Jaylen Warren isn't going to go anywhere. He's a restricted free agent, right? They can retain him with very little fanfare and very little money spent, correct?
Yep. Unless another team comes in and so enamored with Jaylen Warren, they offer him a contract.
But we don't foresee that happening. So Jaylen Warren, 95% back in the fold. Cordarrelle Patterson under contract for next year. So you've already got two backs. Now, I would hate to go into the season with those two as my only two. Nothing against Jaylen Warren. I really like him. I think most Steeler fans do. But I don't know if I'm ready for 250, 300 carries of Jaylen Warren, or if Jaylen Warren is ready for that either, for that matter. So they can re-sign Najee, although, to your point, with the market is what it is now. He's going to get out there, and I would think somebody's going to give him too much. And they can sign a different free agent. I mentioned Aaron Jones. We talked about him before. J.K. Dobbins is out there. Who else is available in the free agent market that might make sense? Javonte Williams, Rico Dowdle, Kareem Hunt.
That was a big Javonte Williams guy coming out of college. I thought they would be able to move back in the first round to the second and be able to get him in the second. But he really didn't live up to anything in Denver at all.
No, he didn't. So what's to make us think that he's going to come to an Arthur Smith offense and finally take off, right?
What about a guy like Travis Etienne?
He's not a free agent, is he?
Oh, you don't think that anybody's on the board for the Jaguars to get rid of?
I don't know why what else do the Jaguars have at running back that they're willing to get rid of Etienne?
They got what's his name? They got a better guy.
Oh, yeah. Tank Bigsby.
Yeah. So, I mean, he could be a guy that I thought I heard somebody saying they could be interested in in moving him. I mean, I think there's going to be guys that are going to come free here.
Okay, so
veterans guy that you can just add one that's, you know, who's not a young guy, but not a old guy. One of those in between cheaper guys, couple million just to cover your rear end until the draft. I think you can do that. Or you wait till after the draft. There'll probably be some guys left until after the draft.
So that's my prediction. We love to do predictions because that's what we do in this business. I don't think, as much as I've made the point of reminding everyone on this show and over the years, that Omar likes to provide himself insurance at as many positions as possible before he gets to draft day, so he doesn't have to draft for positional need. No, I don't mention it like at least once every show. That I don't think he's going to do that at running back. I think because, to your point, I mean, Aaron Jones is 30. How old's Williams is younger. Javonte Williams is like 24.
Yeah,
Dobbins is 26. Yeah. Really, the only old ones out there would be either Aaron Jones, who's 30, Kareem Hunt is 29. They're free agents. I don't foresee them going in that direction. I don't even see them going after, like I mentioned, Dowdle or Dobbins or anything like that. I think they make the move at the draft. I think that would be the thing. And they don't feel the pressure to necessarily draft a running back with a certain pick, maybe before like the fifth, sixth round. So it's some kind of, you know, proven production at the college level. But this is actually for a complimentary back or a 1B to a Jaylen Warren 1A or some kind of timeshare in the backfield with Patterson involved as well. This is actually a decent draft, I think. Like, you can get seven or eight running backs deep, which, I don't know, that probably gets us to like the late fourth, fifth round, and get somebody who I think could be decent and maybe become a long-term part of the solution, but without spending a first-round pick like you did a few years ago on Najee.
Yeah. I mean, once again, you got a bunch of free agent, middle-of-the-road guys you can always fall back on. I mean, would it kill you to have a guy like Alexander Mattison? I thought he was decent in his time in Minnesota, maybe not so much in Vegas.
Strikes me, not to just sit here and poke holes in every name that you're going to bring up, but like those guys strike me as you already have that in Patterson, like the clear cut number three in a three man pecking order. And again, no, I don't have specific problems with them as running backs per se, but like you need a guy I think that can be the timeshare complement to Jaylen Warren. And I'm even comfortable with Warren being the lead guy and whoever you draft being the 1B to his 1A, if you end up with, like, if Omarion Hampton, the kid from North Carolina, slides, you end up with him in maybe the third round or fourth. You end up with a Travion Henderson in the fourth round or Scataboo from Arizona State in the fourth round. Or then you start to get into, like, the late fourth, early fifth, and you're talking about, like, Dylan Sampson from Tennessee or the other Ohio State guy, Judkins, who I absolutely love transferring from Ole Miss to Ohio State this year. Like, that's what I mean about it being like seven or eight deep at that position. They're not going to draft Ashton Jeanty. Let's not get ridiculous. He'll be off the board before they ever come up. But like, there's plenty of 1Bs to Warren's 1A or somebody that's in like a 50-50 timeshare with Warren.
Yeah. I'm going to throw a name out there. Let's see what you think about this. Cam Akers. He's 26. He's coming off an Achilles injury in 2023, and that usually takes a year plus. Extremely cheap, talented, had decent year and a half with the Rams. This is not a guy you're not bringing in a guy to potentially be your starter, carry the ball 300 times. He will be a spot player only if you don't find anybody in the draft as well. So if you're going in with Warren, say Cam Akers, and a third or fourth round pick, whoever it might be running back wise, that might not be a bad idea either. Cam Akers has potential, I think, but you're not going to spend a lot for him. And that's a guy you could probably wait till mid-April to get to.
Yeah, so I guess we're talking about the same thing as far as the veteran addition to the running back room if you're going to make one. In that it's not happening until after the draft, because if a running back falls into their lap in like the fourth round or later, I think they end up doing that. And it's Warren, the rookie, and Patterson. And it'll be one of those classic Steelers, Mike Tomlin things where we spend the first 5 weeks of the season wondering when the rookie's going to finally touch the ball, despite having a decent camp and preseason. And then all of a sudden, we'll be complaining about Patterson getting too many touches. And then after the bye week, they'll throw the rookie in there with Warren, and we'll get to see just how good he is. I mean, that seems like it would be the game plan. But again, if nothing falls to them in the draft, I don't think they're necessarily going to have a problem going out and getting, you know, like you said, a Madison or an Akers.
Or Raheem Mostert.
Mostert.
The guy you're looking for, although he's 32, 33. That's.
But again, if this guy is just a 1B to Warren's 1A or, more of a 50-50 timeshare, I don't necessarily have a problem with that.
You might not even need him. You might have him on the roster, then just say, okay, we've got somebody in the draft. We've got somebody else better that came free later. I think they have options. I think we're not going to see much running back movement early in free agency, if at all.
I think this is a rare case where even though Saquon kind of reset the running back market, and I think production of running backs overall this year, what do they call them in Detroit? Sonic and Knuckles. Those two,
what are you talking about?
You haven't heard the nickname for the Detroit running backs.
Sonic and Knuckles? Knuckles seems like somebody would,
How old are you? You didn't play Sonic the Hedgehog when you were a kid?
Yeah, and the Knuckles
they didn't have Sega and Bell Vernon.
Knuckles is the guy that, he's the heavy that if you don't pay your bet off, he comes and gets you. Knuckles.
He's Sonic's like little cousin who follows him around in Sonic the Hedgehog 2.
Man,
get your video game shit together.
I know Sonic. I don't know Knuckles.
God. That's what they call Gibbs and Montgomery in Detroit. Sonic and Knuckles. Because they're like a 1-2 punch.
I swear you're making that up.
You consistently take the time to ignore what I'm saying so you can read the comments. Take 30 seconds and just Google Sonic and Knuckles Detroit Lions. And you'll see. Sonic I did not Knuckles, make that up.
Only thing that comes up is
the freaking video game. Now, Google Detroit. About? Google Sonic Knuckles Detroit Lions.
God, of course.
How old are you? I have to teach you how to use Google.
I've never heard that before. Sonic, that could be the worst nickname for a running back duo ever.
Only because you're too old to appreciate it.
I played Sonic back in the day while you were still, in diapers wiping poop on your face.
Dry, wet, dry. You're like 3 years older than me. I don't know what the hell you're talking about. So somebody did bring up a name that I've heard. That I've heard mentioned. Oh, it's our guy Justin again.
Josh has not. Brian Jarrett says he's never heard that either. So right there.
Yeah. Well, again, ponies burner. Justin says Nick Chubb. Any interest in Nick Chubb?
Something tells me somebody's going to pay him a little bit too much.
I think so. I think you're right. How old is he now? Chubb's got to be.
Are they all 26?
28. He's got to be 28. He's rapidly approached. He's 29. He'll turn 30 in December.
What about Jamal Williams? Speaking of Detroit running backs of old.
What about
him? He just got released.
Again, that's the Patterson mold. That's the third guy on the depth chart if we're signing that guy. So
I think we've come to the conclusion that running backs shouldn't be high up on their priority list in free agency.
Yeah, I think we've come to that conclusion.
Other than Warren.
Nate did point out that I keep mentioning the fourth round and later for running backs. He thinks the priority in the first three rounds should be wide receiver, defensive line, and I think he means running back there in the comments up on the screen. He typed RD. I think he means RB.
At least he didn't put RO.
Fair.
That would be hard to do.
So what – if wide receiver and D-line are the clear-cut top two priorities, What's next on the list for you? Is it corner?
I think I like safety.
Safety? Okay.
You know what? Either one of your guys from Penn State.
Oh,
maybe.
Yeah.
The one that got hurt? Or the one that filled in?
You had him in your mock draft the other day, didn't you? Yeah. Didn't you have one of the Penn State safeties in like the fourth round or something? No, third round. You had Winston. Yeah, Kevin Winston, who's coming off the injury.
You got both of those guys. Minkah obviously has $22 million cap hit next year and this year. And Elliott's free agent. You need somebody. You bring him in, get him used, and slide him in there. That's one of those things that you have to see how the draft breaks. But I wouldn't mind having a guy like that. I mean, I think obviously the defensive line running wide receiver 1-2. You can flip it either way you want, depending who's there.
But you don't think corner? Like, I don't know how they fill out. Like, it's clear that beyond Peasy, and I know people are instantly going to hit me in the comments with Peasy sucks. Peasy takes a lot of penalties because that's the way he plays. But beyond Peasy, I don't feel great about where they're at in the cornerback room either.
Well, you're not a big Corey Trice guy?
Corey Trice, I think, needs another year. And the problem is they're not going to let Corey Trice spend a year playing nickel and developing. They're going to go out and get your classic nickel corner type, you know, a little fire plug guy. Mike Hilton's available now, I guess. I thought I saw the Bengals released him. They'll bring Hilton back, or, you know, I guess theoretically, if you could get DJ Reed on the cheap, we've talked about him. He's a classic starter who moves inside in nickel situations. That might make sense for Trice to then be your third, but he doesn't play inside. He plays outside. Like, he's the kind of corner. Oh my God. Cabali's computer just completely died. I think this is classic Mark Cabali. Hold on. I'm going to text him right now. No, even better. I'm going to call him because I'm pretty sure he forgot to plug in his laptop, because this is exactly something he would do. This is so perfect. Hang with me, everybody. While I'm here getting Cabali on the horn, got to remind you to hit up Impact HVAC, Impact HVAC PGH on Facebook. Tony and his guy Sunshine just came the other day and fixed up our furnace. It was busted up. We woke up. It was 60 degrees when I came downstairs in the morning, and they got it fixed, bang, in just a couple of hours. Went out and got the parts they needed, got it all done. Impact HVAC PGH on Facebook. They do a fantastic job. We'll probably have them back in a couple of months to check out the AC and make sure that's working as well and get it all tuned up. Did you plug back in? Did your laptop die?
It just crashed.
What do you mean it just crashed?
It just crashed, man. This is, I don't know.
How'd you get it back up that quickly, IT guy?
Well, the Google, whatever, Chrome or whatever I use. Hit it. No, I prepared today because I still got 42% worth of battery, so I'm good with that.
I don't understand how it just crashed out.
You've never had a website crash on you. Oh, sorry. No, we don't know what happened.
I have, but you seem to recognize that it was coming. A split second before it happened, you went, oh, no. And then, bang, it was gone.
Lucky I didn't say anything else.
I mean, we've already established that you can drop the occasional swear word here. We're not going to pretend like it doesn't happen. We just don't need you to constantly go Cody Rhodes on us, which, by the way, is there a day you don't plan on sending that video to me? Like, that is your new favorite. You send that in every single instance.
Which
hey,
video?
Hey, Rock, go yourself.
Yeah, you know what? You just froze up there when you were going to swear, so.
No, I did it on purpose.
No, it was like, honestly, it's so you can use that in so many different variables, in so many different instances and cases. I plan to use it any chance I get. Like you would say, "Hey, man, you want to do the podcast tomorrow at 11?" Boom.
Hey, Rock, go yourself.
Yeah.
We had a guy who I remember being on the high school on the school bus in ninth grade, I think it was.
Was he smoking cigarettes in the back?
He may have occasionally. He was, I think, supposed to be a senior and was like a sophomore. Joe Lutch. I think he's a barber.
Joe Lutch is watching this.
No, hey, if he is, Joe, what's up, bud? He would do this great thing where he had gotten in trouble so often with teachers and bus drivers and everything for swearing that he would do that thing where he would like self bleep himself like I just did. The bus driver would tell him to sit down at the back of the bus because he was standing up and walking around. He'd be like, yeah, go yourself. And if the bus driver's like, you better stop swearing, he'd say, I didn't swear. I don't know what you're talking about. Anyway, Joe Lutch, wonderful human being who just got mentioned here for no good reason other than the fact that he taught us how to self-censor when we want to swear. Running back, we'll see how it shakes out. Let's talk about why you were so upset Monday night. You even wrote about it.
Did I?
You did. WWE.com, you were counting down all the big things that happened over the weekend from Elimination Chamber on Saturday night, Monday Night Raw, and you had a problem. You put it right here at number five. On the surface, it seemed like a missed opportunity to not capitalize on the new eyeballs that surely tuned into Raw to see what all the hubbub was about. But there was no Cena. There was no Rock. There was no Cody. We got Punk and Rollins at the front end of the show doing the Family Guy fight throughout the first hour and a half of the show. Every time they'd cut away, they'd be in the back fighting with each other again. But it was kind of a mid-card deal from there on out all the way until the end when Ripley lost to Io Sky.
Yeah, your point is?
You were disappointed.
I was disappointed. I don't know the schedule of these guys. Obviously, Cena was going somewhere else, but I think they made up for it. I mean, first of all, would you agree that they probably got more eyeballs on Monday Night Raw tuning in to think what in the world's going on with the Cena garbage?
Yeah.
And they're thinking, okay, now I'm watching the War Raiders.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not saying they should go out there and just totally reveal their entire plan and whatever. I guess they're coming back in 2 weeks. But I like the package they put together. I mean, they have different avenues to be able to address and you know, enhance what happened on Saturday just through their absolutely spectacular cinematic advances in technology and how they do go about that. I mean, that's one thing. If you look at the WWE and any other promotion or anything, the thing that sets them apart the most is just that. I mean, the presentation, the cinematic approach, all that stuff that is just nobody can touch it. And I think they use that to their advantage. So at least they went down that route and was able to satisfy a little bit of appetite there.
Yeah, you were just mad you didn't get to see John Cena.
I mean, you would figure Toronto to Buffalo 36 hours later, 48 hours later, somebody could have stayed by. But hey, they opened up with some heat. They ended with some heat.
He's in Budapest or wherever he is, right?
Yeah. Was he still watching Matchbox or whatever? Matchbox 20? What movie is he doing?
Matchbox 20 is a band from the 90s. What are you even talking about?
I think the movie he's filming is called Matchbox.
Where'd you get Matchbox 20 then?
Because I grew up in the 90s listening to Matchbox 20.
I've heard you are a massive fan of Marcy Playground, though. Sex and Candy song.
Here's the funny thing about this is I don't even remember any Matchbox 20 songs. 3 a.m., mm-hmm. right? There you go.
I remember the push one. I want to push you around. I remember that one. Well, I will.
You know, I grew up in the mid-90s where, you know, really hit the music hard. You look back at it, that's a terrible, terrible, terrible age of music.
What was Kabali listening to when he was in high school back in the day?
High school, probably nothing.
You didn't listen to any music?
I mean, it depends. Early high school, maybe the Guns N' Roses and stuff like that.
Little Appetite for Destruction.
A little bit later on to Metallica. Okay. But I was a grunger a little bit in the mid-90s, late 90s.
Yeah, some Pearl Jam in there.
Pearl Jam, Nirvana, Everclear. Big Everclear.
Everclear. Guy. Everclear. Swim out past the break. Well,
even though
watch the world die.
The first concert I ever saw was Genesis. Mm-hmm. Oh.
Genesis. That might actually be that. If it was like the mid to late 80s, that would have actually been really good, probably. Phil Collins.
It's right, 92, I bet.
Yeah.
Three Rivers.
At Three Rivers, man. That was a big one if they was playing Three Rivers.
Because I think it was in May, and I think the Penguins were in the playoffs, in the maybe the Eastern Conference playoffs. I don't know. So I wasn't very happy that I made plans months before that.
How disappointed are you that the Pens are back in the tank? You don't care, do you?
Nah, they're just so boring now.
Yeah. There's another bad loss last night.
How many straight sellouts do they have at home? Oh,
years, a decade's worth, man.
Oh, I'm talking about now.
Oh, yeah. That's not happening. That's not happening.
Well, they should trade Sydney, right?
No, that's just what all the numbskulls up in Canada say all the time.
Oh, be careful about that word.
Numbskulls?
No, Canada. Oh, man, I guess you can't say anything now.
Why can't you mention Canada?
Because they still look on awful announcing now. And there's
all the Canadians booing our anthem.
No, Keith Olbermann's calling from people's firemen.
What?
Keith Olbermann.
Why are you getting political? Why are you
political? Because it's you know,
we can mention a country.
You see the guy's name behind me? Well, Keith Olbermann apparently just said they need to fire him.
Oh, Jesus. Keith Olbermann needs to get a clue if he's calling for Pat McAfee's firing. That's ridiculous. Come on.
I just saw the headline, but I have to go back and read it. I don't even want to read it, but whatever.
I don't even necessarily have a problem with that dude in general, but like, pay attention to what's going. Whatever. Anyway, we're not going to get political. All right, real quick, let's roll through the comments here before we wrap up. Friday, let's do a big free agency show. Let's spend Omar's money, okay?
Or arts.
Yeah, I know. It's technically arts, but we'll call it spend Omar's money. How about
that?
We
have to spend it all?
You can do whatever you want.
We can make rules to this too. We could just use.
You could gut people and come up with new money. You could do all kinds of stuff.
How about we should actually do some research on this and have each of our own.
I mean, I plan. Plan
and we could use SpotTrack in their market value.
Yeah.
See how much it is.
Wow, I think that's
actually have to do some work. Jesus.
I mean, just a little bit. What the hell else are you doing before Friday morning?
I got to do a couple things.
Yeah, you got to run to the mail.
What's that?
I got to run to the post office and mail my taxes.
You know, I haven't been to the post office forever, and they tried to sell me a book of stamps for $72. I'm like, what?
What? $72?
It was like a roll of stamps for, I'm like, 72 what?
Oh, like, well, hold on. How much are stamps now? Are they 72 cents?
Oh, she told me you could buy a sheet for like $30 or a roll for 72.
Well, yeah, because you're getting 100 stamps.
Oh, you ain't getting 100 stamps for $72.
Yes.
You might get five.
If they're regular stamps, yes. They don't mark it up for you to buy the roll, man. No, they give you 100 in the roll.
Here it is right now.
Stamps are 73 cents right now. I just looked it up. So buy 100 of them. It'll be $73.
Who uses that many stamps?
I don't know. Old men who have to drive to the post office to mail their taxes and can't just do it.
Well, you have to weigh it, right? I didn't know how much my tax thing weighed. You have to understand, I went on the federal thing.
This just comes back to you being completely and totally electronically illiterate.
No, because I was able to go to the federal site and be able to do everything through that, and I was fine. The state tax was just like, I mean, our state website's like, so I'm like, I'm just mailing it. Plus the local tax, but that's not hard.
That's an envelope. That's one envelope. That's 173 cent stamp.
Yeah, but the state tax, I'm telling you, costs $1.01. How would I know that?
Well, they're going to
put 7 stamps on it. You go there and here.
File your taxes electronically. Anyway.
did. All of them except one.
All right. Let's roll through the comments before we wrap up and address what everybody had to say. Justin says he thinks they have a quarterback locked up before Monday, the Steelers. What do you say? Is it done before Monday?
We're talking about officially or wink, well, wink, nod.
Wink, wink, nod, nod. Noon on – is it noon on Monday or 4 p.m. on Monday?
4 this p.m. Way. Right? If we don't hear about it on Sunday night – I don't think Justin's coming back. If we don't hear about it.
So you think we'll get the leak on Sunday night that says the Steelers have reached an agreement with Justin Fields in principle?
If not, if he gets to Monday, he's not coming back.
Yeah, somebody will pay him a lot more than that.
I think we've heard it all this past couple of days. Justin Fields are number one. Yeah, we know Justin Fields. I've been saying this for 2 months now. Justin Fields, number 1A, right? But we don't know if Justin Fields is going to sign somewhere else. That's where it is. I think they need to sign Justin. I think Justin's the best guy. I think that he's their choice, but that doesn't mean that Justin's going to sign here.
So here's the question from me then is how much more, like how much of a premium do you think he charges the Steelers to sign before Monday? Because like, here's the thing. We also agree that everybody's talking to everybody already. And that means I'm sure his agent is fielding offers or theoretical offers from other teams right now and has been for weeks. Like, hey, we're thinking we might do this. Another team says we might be willing to do this. And the agent's thinking, well, maybe if I get to Monday, those teams panic and they give me a little bit more. So my point is, like, how much more do you think he'd charge the Steelers to stay here before even getting to Monday?
I don't even think it gets to that point. I think the Steelers put a hard deadline on him. Say, we need to know by midnight on Sunday, or we can't sit around and wait.
So you're saying if they don't hear from his agent, midnight, I'm just saying in general, if they don't hear from him by a certain point, before Monday at 4 p.m., okay, get out of here. We'll go get Russ.
Oh, yeah, we're going to go plan B. I mean, now that might be part of their whole plan of trying to get him to come back. But you have to set a deadline for him. You can't let him dictate this. First of all, what are we doing here, too? Should he be a guy that's able to dictate his place and price right now for a guy
in this market? Like, unfortunately –
in any market. I mean, he had six decent games, halfway decent games, in three terrible years.
Look at the quarterbacks available, Mark.
I understand that. But doesn't mean he should be sitting
and
there.
And look at the teams that need quarterbacks.
Give me money.
But look at the teams that need – there are half a dozen teams that desperately need an answer at quarterback, even if it's just for 1 year, right? Both New York teams, the Steelers, the Raiders – maybe the Browns or Titans as well. I'm sure there's somebody else I'm forgetting off the top of my head. Point being, all these teams need to figure out the quarterback position on Monday.
If you're
a quarterback who's in the top five of the group that are available, and again, look at the group that's available. You got Darnold, you got Rodgers, you got Russ, you got Fields. After that, it's a bunch of backups. It's Brissettes and Flaccos, right? So, like it or not, he's in a position to dictate a little bit of this to teams that might be interested. I get it. Six games of a track record, plus whatever happened in Chicago. But
I don't know. I don't think the Steelers are going to overestimate his worth. He is what he is. He's a guy that's not very good in Chicago for 3 years, had, you know, six decent games, not great, not terrible. I mean, do you want to hitch your wagon to him for 3 years?
Well, the other option is hitch your wagon to Russ for another 2 years or Rodgers for a year or dramatically overpay Sam Darnold for 4 years. Or, I mean, what? Again, Brissett, Winston, Flacco. That's what we're talking about. A bunch of career backups now.
What I would do with Justin would be this. I would be willing to overpay him more than obviously his market value if it's a one-year thing. Okay, I can deal with one for 10, one for 12, something like that. If it's 1 year.
He's not going to do that.
Three for, I ain't going for three for whatever. Three for 30, three for 40, whatever.
But this is my point. In this market, this offseason, given what's available, he can go get 3 years somewhere. He can get 3 years from the Raiders or maybe the Giants or the Jets, somebody who's desperate for a quarterback. And he can get that 3 years somewhere, and he could probably get $10 million a year for 3 years from one of those teams. His spot track market value, I know you love this, $6.4
million. Yeah, I don't know. I just don't know how – I can see why he's in the position where he is, but I don't think his stats in his past should allow him to dictate what he wants. Hey, this is what we got.
I think in any other year, you're right. It wouldn't allow him to dictate.
Hey, man, we know what you could do. We saw what you can do. This is what we're paying. Take it or leave it. You leave it, I don't care. You haven't proved anything that you're going to be a superstar quarterback or not. Would I like to have him back? Yes. But I'm not going to sit there and
– they're going to end up with Russ.
I still think it is, because I think they want – like I've said, they want Justin.
Justin might settle for Russ. Yeah, that's what it – yeah. Mark Malone, I always love when former Pittsburgh Steelers quarterbacks jump into the chat, called us dill holes. He said, what's up, dill holes? Is dill holes?
You could tell. He's our age.
Yeah, dill holes?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Is dill holes – what is that on par with? You I haven't heard dill holes used in probably 35 years. When's the last time someone called you a dill hole?
Oh, Beavis and Butthead did it in the.
Okay, so 30 years, late 90s, 25 years at least.
You know what we used to do back in Bell Vernon, back in the early days?
What's up, dill hole?
No, I don't know if you guys did this or not, but we used to do the, I don't even know what it means. Like if you got somebody, you go like this, you go face. You ever do face?
No, no.
If anybody knows what face is, you have to go like it's face. I can't even describe what it meant.
That sounds like something stupid. We would do stupid stuff like we called it thwap. You would thwap someone in the nuts as you were walking past them down the hallway.
Yeah, we don't do that type of stuff in where I'm from.
Sure, yeah, face. Yeah, that's or you know, you'd do that thing when we were in elementary school where you'd go like this on your leg.
Whoa, you're not allowed to do that no more.
And if somebody looked, you'd get to punch him in the arm. Stupid stuff like
that. Circle in the arm. If you didn't wipe it off, you could just keep punching him.
Yeah. Stupid stuff like that. I never heard of the face thing, though.
The atomic sit-up?
No, we did. That's some weird Bell Vernon shit right there.
I didn't fall for it.
Yeah, sure you didn't. Brian Garrett, a.k.a. Pony's Burner. I feel bad. Brian's probably a real person, and that's probably his real name, but we've just assumed that this is Pony's Burner now. What are the chances Omar signs Sam Darnold? Give me a percentage.
3.
Wow. That's actually a pretty high number compared to what I expected you to say.
Yeah.
3%?
The thing with Sam Darnold is Justin Jefferson, Jordan Addison, and Kevin O'Connor come with him. That's I keep saying that.
That'd be great. Yeah.
Does he come with him? Then okay, yeah.
See, this is how I know Brian is either a huge Pony fan or it's Pony's Burner. Darnold to Devontae is the new Montana Rice. Nice work by Brian. What other comments did we not get a chance to get to? Somebody's mad that Larry Yellen still hasn't claimed. Oh, it's the same guy, Brian. He's mad Larry Yellen never claimed his prize, the autographed Sidney Crosby photo plaque. We got to give it a couple weeks. I'm sorry, Brian. We got to give him a chance to find out that he won and then actually claim it. If he doesn't.
Yeah, I guess next time we do the giveaway, we're going to have to make it more specific.
We're going to have to make it highly specific next time. Although we appreciate everyone following. We're up over like 530 subscribers now, I think, on the YouTube. So that's good. What else? A bunch of people say, oh, here's one from Nate that actually is a good question, I think, because we were talking about corners. Beanie Bishop, where does he fit in this mix going forward in the secondary?
I think he fits in. I think he takes the Cam Sutton spot. But there's a reason why. I mean, first of all, he was a drafted guy last year. There's a reason why when Cam Sutton was struggling late in the year last year that Beanie didn't get in there as much as he maybe should have. I mean, there was
I think the answer to that is Mike Tomlin would rather have a guy who he'd rather have the devil he knows. He'd rather have the guy whose limitations he understands in there than a young guy who maybe he doesn't trust as much. That's just my two cents. That seems to be a big Mike Tomlin move.
But there's something to it. I mean, he finds the ball, right? The ball seems to find him everywhere. I mean, is he limited? Yeah, but so was Mike Hilton limited in what he was able to do. Beanie seems like a guy to me is where you need, like, sort of like when Mike Hilton was here. Mike Hilton was a good run stopper, blitzer, but he was not very good at covering. So they had different avenues to fill that hole. Maybe Beanie Bishop is the flip side of that. Maybe pairing him with Mike Hilton wouldn't be the terrible, worst thing in the world to do.
I mean, that's a fallback option, man. How old's Mike Hilton now? I mean,
let me tell you something about this. Bengals are just cleaning house. You give T. Higgins the money. Hubbard's gone now. Hilton's gone now. They're just like, they're going to have three players on the entire roster.
Mike Hilton turns 31 this weekend. I don't know if I'm racing to sign Mike Hilton. I think, as Justin just pointed out, I don't know if you need to race to get it done, but DJ Reed makes sense here. And then, like I mentioned earlier, he's the starter opposite Peasy. When you go to nickel, which is what, 70% of the time now anyway, you move Reed inside, you put Trice on the outside, and hope that Trice gets better. Otherwise, you're going to have to go out and pay. There's just not a lot of corners out there that make sense in free. That make sense in free.
Plus, they don't. I mean, first they don't draft them in the first round either. What was it? It was 25 years in between Artie Burns and Chad Scott, I think.
Yeah, Peasy counts as a borderline first round. He was 32nd overall.
Well, you know, they cost a lot of money in free agencies. You actually probably should draft them early, but the good ones, the stud ones, are typically gone early in the draft, other than, I guess, Cooper DeJean.
This is from Mark Malone again, the nightmare scenario. Bring in Rudolph/Mac Jones/Danny Dimes and draft Will Howard or Tyler Shuck. You know how people say that stupid stuff all the time? If they do that, I'll stop watching on Sundays. I wouldn't actually stop watching on Sundays, but I would be much less inclined to pay any attention whatsoever if that's the kind of thing that ends up happening. That's a disaster if that happens.
It's an unmitigated disaster, horse.
Yeah, that's – you're saying the quarterback doesn't matter. You might as well just – wow. How could you spin that to the fans now? Hey, we're going to get better. There's going to be changes. We're going to have Mac Jones and Will Howard as our quarterbacks for next year.
And then draft Will Will Howard. Oh, God. Oh, sorry. Thank you for the suggestion, though, Mark Malone. That sounds similar to what happened when you and David Woodley were battling for the position after Terry Bradshaw's retirement. Early to mid-80s reference for those of you old enough with us.
You could tell we're off the rails right now when the two tabs I have open up on my computer is roll of stamps cost and dill hole.
What did you have to look up about dill hole? Like, what was necessary to look up?
I don't know. Where did the term dill hole come from? Beavis and Butthead.
Really?
Because you can't say dick hole on TV, it says. I don't know.
Okay. Dill hole.
Here it is. Someone who is totally useless at everything. So we might be dill holes.
We might be. I mean, why the hell else would we be doing this? One more note. Justin, who's all over the WWE schedule, says Cena's scheduled for 2 weeks from now and it's SmackDown.
Yeah, I think you're going to see it there. Everything come to I think Cody's supposed to come back at that point, too.
So, speaking of WWE schedules, June 30th, Monday Night Raw at PPG Paints Arena. Tickets go on sale later this week.
I think the presale was today, right?
Was it today?
I think it might be.
Might be. But we're gonna have to see if we can't get down there for that kaboom.
Oh man, there should be a decent show. I'm just trying to think what happens in June. Is there any sort of good PLE leading up or before or after that?
Well, Backlash usually happens in May, right? And then you would get, what would happen after Backlash? It would be, Money in the Bank. It'll be right around Money in the Bank time. So that could be a big deal. And then it'll also be, you'll be like 6 weeks out from SummerSlam probably. So you'll be on the build up. You'll be right around, you'll be in the last week or two, I would think, leading up to Money in the Bank, which is supposed to be like late June, early July, I think.
Last year it was right before Money in the Bank and right in between Clash at the Castle and Money in the Bank. So
that could actually be, depending on, I don't know if Clash at the Castle is on the schedule this year.
Oh, like, I'm just saying time-wise.
Right. No, so I'm actually looking at it. That could be like Raw after Money in the Bank. June 30th at PPG.
Cleveland's getting another one.
Another one what?
Another PLE or something. They just got SummerSlam. They just had Raw.
I hope not. Money in the Bank, it doesn't have to be a stadium show. They could do it in like, I don't know. Maybe they do it in somewhere around here.
They could do it at
when do we get a PLE, Kabali? When does that happen?
Huh. What's the place called in McKeesport now? Oh, shoot.
Is there anything left in McKeesport?
Oh, where the dances are. We can have it there. Oh, shoot.
Where the dances are.
Yeah, they used to have dances there. As soon as you come across the bridge, the Jerome Street Bridge is on the right-hand side. I forget what it is. They could have it there.
Good talk.
It would be very good if I knew what the name of the place was.
You look that up because you're good at looking stuff up on the fly while we're talking.
The Palisades. Come on. There we go. Now I got a dill hole roll of stamps and Palisades is my
perfect
open tabs.
Good work by you. We will do it again on Friday. We will actually do work. We will spend Omar's millions, just like Brewster's millions. Brian says we'll have to spend it all or else it doesn't count. Sound good? We'll each come up with millions.
I still use that quote.
Underrated. You know, movie.
You're not a farmer. You don't have to swing a shit in the dirt.
Such an underrated movie. I mean, Richard Pryor and John Candy. That's John Candy had that little
necklace of the. You know, Johnny Bench didn't pick it up.
I mean, the train going through the outfield in the middle of the game. That is perfect. Low key, great. Sports adjacent, but low-key, great sports movie.
Yeah, you ever see his wife? Yeah, an ugly bitch.
All right. Friday, we'll spend Omar's millions. Until then, by all means, make sure you're following both of us on social media, at Mark Kabali, at the Chris Mack. I still debate whether we should get a dedicated handle for the show or not. I don't know if we should or not. But we're on YouTube, Kabali and Mack. Make sure you're subscribed there. So the next time we do a giveaway for subscribers, you're able to get in on that. Make sure you get your WWE tickets this week so we can all go to the show together in June. It'll be a blast. And make sure you're fully prepared for the Steelers to disappoint you in free agency next week. Sound good, Mark?
I haven't disappointed in years, man. Sit, Malu, Queen. They've been spending some money here the last 5-6 years.
Yeah, I'm totally prepared to be disappointed in the quarterback move. Whatever it may be.
They're going to come up with something big. You're like, whoa, I like this one.
I hope you're right.
Back, but it's going to be
something. I hope you're right, but I'm not counting on it. That'll do it for today's edition of Kabali and Mack. Thanks to Impact HVAC Pittsburgh. Thanks to Southwest Greens PA and the Dan Heck team, heckteamhomes.com. Bye now.